You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, here with a special edition of the Patriot Power Hour. No Future Dan tonight, and this is not an officially numbered Patriot Power Hour, but it is a financial special, and on this night, January 25th, 2022, we have a lot of financial news to go through, a lot of analysis, and some fear in the markets. I've been getting some texts from old friends and even a couple of hosts here on the network asking, is this the collapse? The market's in correction territory, down 10% in the last couple of weeks. The Dow Jones had, I believe, seven straight days of losses. Is this the final? Even Drudge Report yesterday had is this the super collapse of the super bubble or something, you know, dumb like that, some clickbait. My opinion, no, it is not the, capital T-H-E, collapse. But it's one more cycle around the drain as we head down the toilet. And each time you go around that drain, it gets a little tighter. It comes around a little quicker the next time, a little deeper. And we are speeding up, and we are orbiting that drain very quickly, that black hole of debt, as I've called it before. And I want to bring out some numbers here. I am a numbers guy, but I started not as a podcast host, but as a blogger, right? Everyone was a blogger before they were a podcast host. That's how it works. And I actually need to get back to my writing because I think I'm pretty good at it and it's fun, but oh my gosh, I write so much for my day job, I just can't hardly do it. So anyway, that to the side. I started in 2011, the website dethronethebanksters.com. At that time, national debt, what was the national debt back in 2011? Somewhere around $11 trillion. So just 11 years ago, really like 10 and a half years ago, the national debt was still at a pretty incredibly high, if you think about it. Actually, this more looks like on this, depends what time of the year, of course, but $13, $14 trillion. Guess what it is today? $29.877 trillion. Yes, that's correct. We are a hair from $30 trillion. I'm not going to do an official celebration or more like a mourning for this country at $30 trillion, but that's kind of what this show is unofficially. Because shortly, we will go from $29.877 trillion to $30 trillion, and then $40 trillion, and then $70 trillion, and then $100 trillion. I can foresee us getting to $100 trillion national debt in another 11 years. That's how quickly this escalates. And, of course, the value of the dollar, as you've all seen, is collapsing. So in 10 years, $100 trillion will be like, you know, $50 trillion nowadays. Maybe even more degraded. Probably more than 50% loss of purchasing power in the U.S. Federal Reserve fiat currency note in the next decade. Long story short, whether you're looking at it in real terms or just nominal terms, the debt is racking up. Unbelievable. And I'm telling you, I thought this was a problem when I started 10 or 11 years ago. It's incredible. I did not expect it to get to $30 trillion this quick. So who knows? It might even surpass $100 trillion quicker than I think. But you got to remember this. It's not just the U.S. national debt that's racking up incredibly quickly. Medicare and Medicaid deficits and lack of funding, and essentially they're going to go bankrupt sooner and sooner. The state and municipality debt, the personal debt, the student debt, all these growing. at ridiculous amounts over the last 10 years. And the only reason this was able to happen, let's take a step back. What happened in 2008, 2009? Everything collapsed. The banksters were saying there was going to be riots and tanks on the streets because the credit system froze and everything was going to collapse. That's what they were saying. That's why they needed that TARP bailout. Remember TARP? They have so many schemes, but remember TARP? Blast from the past? That was only like $700 billion. That's like nothing compared to the COVID bailouts. But it was easily the largest bailout, too big to fail, ever seen. Right? At the time. And nothing was actually fixed. It was all papered over. All the systemic problems in the economy and in the banking financial system worldwide. We're focused on America here, but obviously we're the biggest in the world. The world is very globalized, even more so than 10 years ago. So you can't just look at America in this regard. All the other debt of all the other countries blown up immensely. China, of all, has like the craziest credit growth. Now, they have actual manufacturing and do produce things, unlike us, who've taken a back seat in that regard. But they still have a supremely obese credit bubble. Look at Evergrande. We've talked about it a lot on the show. That's just the tip of it. The biggest. Maybe not the tip. It's more like the stem. You know, that's the true girth of it. But there is a lot more behind it. And this all brings to what? Okay, Ben, we know this. What is this? What's the point? Well, tomorrow, January 26th, Jay Powell is giving a little presentation, head of the Fed. He says they're going to be raising interest rates. He says maybe even in March, as early as March, raising some interest rates and several interest rate hikes over the next several months. And just the whiff of that taper, as they call it, caused financial assets to pull back 10%, caused Bitcoin to go down at least 25% since that stuff was announced. And really, Bitcoin's 50% off of its all-time high. Now, it's still up pretty big year over year. So I'm still a big fan of Bitcoin. I think it's a nice little buy right here. But it has been mollywopped, as the kids say. It has been beaten down. Bitcoin down to like 33,000 at the low. I think it's bounced back up to 37,000. So if you're trading off the bounce, but you know, just in the last couple of weeks, it went from 45,000 to 32,000. I mean, it took way bigger beating than the stock market. That's because a lot of the hedge funds and a lot of the Wall Street money did get into Bitcoin in the last couple years, and that's the first stuff they'll sell because they're using it as speculation. There's still a lot of people holding tight, and that's why Bitcoin bounced and has such a firm resistance. But hey, if there's one thing I've said about Bitcoin, it's very volatile. Be careful. Sell when people are greedy, buy when they're scared. I think people are pretty scared now. Long story short, everything's been beaten down. Why? Because of the interest rates. It's all about the interest rates. It's all about the Fed. That's how perverse this financial rigging has gotten. Everybody just focuses on the Fed, not actual earnings, not actual production and investment. It's stock buybacks, and which is financed by extremely low interest rates. You issue debt at very low interest rates and buy back your company's stocks. Guess what? The price goes up. You didn't make anything, but you financialized it in the short to medium term. The CEO and C-suite get their seven or even eight-figure bonuses and along on their merry way. Don't care if it collapses in 5 or 10 years. And that just keeps going. But it can only keep going while the interest rates are zero. What is an interest rate? What does an interest rate even mean? It is the price of money. Do you think the price of money should be 0%? Hell no. Would you lend a stranger $100 with the promise that in 12 months, in 1 year, they would come back and give you $100? Maybe if you're feeling very charitable, right? that's about the only way. You certainly wouldn't consider that an investment. If you gave them $100, they come back 1 year later and give you $100, pay you back with no interest, no fees. Why? Because there's a chance, even let's just say a 1 in 100 chance, someone doesn't pay you back. Just that by itself makes it a losing proposition for you. That's the risk of lending. There's always risk to lending. You won't get paid back at all or in full, or you have to go to bankruptcy and try to get your piece of the pie, which might only be 60% of what you were supposed to get paid. So you got to have some sort of interest rate just to cover defaults, which is normal in a real free market economy. People go bankrupt. People die. There's scammers out there that run away with their money and don't pay you. I mean, that stuff happens. You got to try your best as a business to prevent that, but it happens. So you got to have some interest rate. That's the first part of it. Second part is an inflation. Of course, we know, at least in fiat currency systems, Keynesian, inflation is always greater than 0%, except for in extreme cases, short-term cases. Inflation is always going up. Have you really seen instances where goods go down in cost? Only things I can think of are like televisions, computers, electronics. You know, I think some of that is subsidized by industry because it brainwashes us. But some of it is great technological evolution, which brings prices down, which is great. We want that. But, you know, food, housing, clothing, schooling, healthcare. Have those gone down in price at all in the last 20, 30, 50 years? Hell no. So there's always some sort of inflation. So meaning when you lend that person $100, if they give you $100, well, that $100 a year later is not going to buy the same amount of stuff. You might need $105 to buy the same amount. That'd be a 5% inflation. So you need some, if you are going to lend in free market economy, whether it's just a small local bank or international finance in London and New York, you know, they got to charge interest rate to each other. But in the last 10 years or so, since the crisis, financial crisis 2008, no, you don't need an interest rate. In fact, it's essentially 0%, if not negative, at least for the big boys. I certainly don't get a 0% interest rate on my credit cards. Neither do you, right? We certainly get a 0% savings rate. Yeah. Interest rate apartheid, they've called that. I think Max Kaiser came up with that. Interest rate apartheid. Certain segments of the population get access to cheap or essentially 0% interest rate money that they can invest in. And the rest of us, payday loans. Or if you're somewhat wealthy, you can get pretty low mortgage rates and auto rates. That's true. So there is a little knock-on effect. Like, all right, we'll let the peasants have some cheap mortgage rates. Right? But that's just to keep the asset bubble going. So these interest rates are zero. Tomorrow, they're going to start tightening, or they're going to say they're going to start tightening. Can they do that? The answer is no, they cannot. So what does this have to do with prepping? I try to always bring it back to that so I don't just rally on about finance. It comes down to this, folks. I really honestly believe you need to, if you have something you want to purchase, anything you want to purchase related to preps, pretty much for the rest of your life, I think, at this rate. But definitely in the next 5 years, if you want to purchase that homestead, if you want to purchase that truck, if you want to purchase 6 months of storable food, if you want to, whether it's a $500 purchase or a $500,000 purchase, I certainly don't have $500,000, but if I did, oh my gosh, I would be buying stuff hand and fist right now, or our priority would have, because that stuff's only going to go up in price, number one. Number two, though, this is what I'm more concerned about, and I'm seeing more and more of it lately. It's the shortages, it's the delays. Like, let's say you wanted to make a homestead, right? I really don't think you'll be able to complete a house from scratch between now and when this collapse could hit. You really need to consider that. You might need to just purchase a kind of rundown old home on some property, rather than like, oh, I'm going to make my dream bug out bunker, an awesome log cabin. Yeah, it'll take 6 months or 12 months or even longer to build it. I just don't think that time's going to be there. I mean, at the high level, we're already seeing homes not having garage doors and or the siding completed because they ran out. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. And it's only going to get multiples worse, especially as hyperinflation and the collapse of the economy hits. And that's where we're headed next, in my opinion. Again, I don't think this is the capital T-H-E collapse in the next couple months. But I expect another cycle down, big cycle down, a lot of pain, a lot of freedom stomped upon. But I think they can kick the can down the road a little longer, at least from a financial market point of view. But this is where the numbers, all these numbers of debt and interest rate and all that shit, this is where it becomes real. People are going to stop going to work. People are going to stop being able to afford gas to go to work. You think the supply chain crisis is bad now? It'll be nothing if inflation's at 20%+. Yeah, the price of everything you want to buy is going up, but no one's producing other stuff either. And it will just accelerate logarithmically just so quickly. So I guess my plea to you folks as preppers, and I've been trying to do this myself, pushing as hard as I can. You know, I'm not giving financial advice here, but even taking out some loans, if you can get some low, you know, 5-10% interest rate or less. I mean, to be honest, I believe inflation right now is 10% per year or more. So if you can get a loan for under 10% per year, you're making out. If you put it all, you know, don't piss it away in Vegas or freaking, you know, party. But if you put it 100% towards preps, I think it's a good idea. But at your own risk. Definitely, and I try to avoid debt as much as possible, but a few years ago, I did leverage some very good interest rates that I had access to, and thank God I bought some of the stuff I did, because what I've bought is either unavailable or up, you know, 60, 80, 100% in price in the last few years. I'm talking about ammo and my electric bike and a couple other little assets. I wish I had enough money to have bought a big property, but it is what it is. So, I think you guys need to, I know a lot of listeners of this station have really pressed hard, but this is just another warning that I really feel like it's coming down. And again, that doesn't mean it's going to be tanks on the street collapse, but from a practical point of view, if not a financial 401k value point of view, but from man on the street and trying to acquire and use real goods, whether that's lumber, gasoline, ammo, food, all those resources, maybe to build a greenhouse or whatever you want to do, that stuff, I mean, you might even not even be able to find some of that stuff now, to be honest. So jump on it, folks. Jump on it. I think now you got to put pedal to the metal. Use what you got. You don't want to be holding 50 grand in cash when they lock down the banks and you can't even get it out. Use it. Use it for good. Now, couple more items I want to hit on, and this isn't going to be a whole hour show. So a little bit of education, a little bit of a rant, a little advice. But looking here, we're starting to see some semblance of reality hitting the front pages of financial news, but they're in a state of denial. I've seen many an article talk about how the Fed is in a trap, in a corner, how there's no way out. But they don't hold to account the fact that this has been built up for 20, 30, 40 plus years. And then, of course, they'll have, you know, one segment or one article about that, and then they'll have five articles about how Jim Cramer says don't panic, buy the low, right? When we know it's probably the plunge protection team at play. But I think it's, I do want to say this, and I've said it a couple times on the show. I really don't think the banksters want to take the blame this time. It's mathematically impossible to pay back this debt, this 30-plus trillion national debt, plus tens of trillions of other types of debt. It's mathematically impossible. Even at 0% interest rates, we have 0% interest rates and we're not even paying it down. We're actually adding trillions and trillions per year. We're not paying it down at 0% interest rate. At 1%, 2%, 5%, it'll be absolutely impossible to pay back. So that's firm. That's guaranteed that there's going to be an economic reset. How long is that going to be? I'm putting it on the long spectrum at 10 years. When I said $100 trillion, that'll be kind of their final gasp. So I still think they can kick the can down the road. But for your prepping purposes, it doesn't matter if they continue to prop up the stock market if you can't get the materials you need to build your new shelter, or you know, you can't get a new vehicle or parts for this and that. So that part, that sort of economic collapse is already here and is going to accelerate. And you know, if you do have a 401k or financial assets, I suggest holding tight. And by holding tight, I mean getting rid of that stuff as quick as you can. I think that's about it. Again, pretty short show here. I just wanted to officially announce $30 trillion in national debt on the way. We're adding $2.8 trillion in debt every year. So hell, in 10 years, that would be another $28 trillion. We're almost halfway to that, more than halfway to that $100 trillion I was talking about, just at the current pace. Trust me, they're going to have unbelievable increases in this. If you want one of the best sites to go to, I mean, it makes you sad, but go to usdebtclock.org, usdebtclock.org. That's my go-to for stats. Here's one example. I'll just read this right here. The per year, so what are GDP, gross domestic product? How much product does America produce per year? Now take that number compared to the amount of debt per year. Or excuse me, total debt. So again, that $30 trillion we're talking about. Back in 1980, when we had massive interest rates and the inflation, and then we had to kick up those interest rates to try to tramp it down. Anyone who lived through the late 70s, early 80s knows all about this, but if you don't, go educate. It's really interesting. But back then, we only had 34%, or the total federal debt only represented 34% of gross domestic product, which is pretty low. Like, let's say your household makes $100,000 per year with everybody combined, and your household has $34,000 in debt. That's reasonable, right? You can kind of pay that. By the year 2000, it went from 34.5% to 59%. That's a pretty tough nut to crack, but maybe still tenable. Your household makes $100,000 a year. You got about $60,000 of debt hanging on, not including the mortgage. This doesn't include the mortgage, by the way. This is just like debt just kind of hanging on to you, whether it's credit card or I guess auto, but definitely not mortgage. This is not mortgage. Still, you could probably pay your debt. You know, you'll definitely be able to make minimum payments, but you're slipping the wrong way from a household financial point of view. Well, now, so again, 1980, 34%. The amount of debt was equal to 34% of what the country produced each year. That's good. Not bad at all. The year 2000, 59%. Okay, at least we're still making more than what each year than the debt. Right now, though, it's up to 127%. You're right. That's unbelievable. But it's true. Very true. The numbers don't lie in this case. So again, a household that makes $100,000 a year, you now have $127,000 in debt. So obviously you haven't been paying that down. It's only been growing. And the amount of interest you pay has been growing too. So unless you get a huge raise or an inheritance, which Uncle Sam is not getting an inheritance. Yeah. We're going the wrong way. Now, again, a lot of this debt has been added on in the last 10, 15 years at 0% interest rate. But Jay Powell says tomorrow he's going to say we're going to raise interest rates. Well, this is where they're screwed. If they do raise interest rates, there will be a collapse because it's a Ponzi scheme and you can't taper a Ponzi scheme, simply put. If they don't raise rates, or what I believe will happen, they'll raise rates 2 or 3 times this year, just a quarter or maybe a 0.5% each time, maybe a total of 1%. So instead of having 0% interest rates, we'll have a total of 1%, which is still minuscule and way below inflation, let alone the default risk I was talking about earlier. That's as far as they're going to get. They're not going to be able to raise it more than 1% over the next 6-9 months. And then they're going to have to back up. They're going to have to reverse that and probably go to negative interest rate and put more stimulus and debt spending and Biden bailouts, all this stuff. And when that happens, oh, Katie, bar the door. It's game over. At least from, again, a prepper's financial point of view, actually trying to acquire goods. But this is where, you know, Dave Jones, for example, comes up with, you got to go listen to him. Everybody listens to NBC guy. We love you, Dave Jones. But having that local food and economy, whether it's the Amish, whether it's just your neighbor who has chickens, or you even barter, you don't even use the government script. Just barter here the old school way. Here's some goat's milk for some chicken eggs, or, you know, whatever. That stuff will become increasingly important. So start getting those networks set up now. But it's going to come down to that, especially for folks like us who may not agree with the government as much as others and may not be as willing to take on the... Well, it's the basic income. That's what's going to come after all this. They're going to be such an outcry, so much inflation, so much unemployment and disaster. It's going to be an extension of the welfare system, but only if you match the social credit score, right? Everybody knows about that. They're doing it in China. So if you don't plan to acquiesce to their system, you need to get financially independent. And there's not much time left to do that. I'm really sorry to tell you. But there is still a little time, so it's better than nothing. Get after it. With that said, I think that's all for the night. Just a little bit of update on Powell's conference tomorrow. I'll certainly be back live next Tuesday with Future Dan to review what he said and everything else that's taking place in the world. And remember, this is just one reason to prep and to get your preps together. We didn't even talk about all the other news that we usually do on this show tonight, such as Ukraine and China and lots of other fun topics. So don't be lazy. Don't think you can take care of it in a month from now or a year from now. Do everything in your power. And I'm talking to myself as much as anything. And I've been trying to live this, but I need to double down on it, to be honest. Because it's way better to be a week or even a year too early than a day too late or even a minute too late. Let me tell you that. All right, folks, Ben the Breaker of Banksters. I'm going to get out of here for the night. Be sure to go to prepperbroadcasting.com or search Prepper Broadcasting wherever you find your podcasts. Follow along. We got so many awesome hosts and shows these days. We've officially been with the network more than 2 years now, and it's been a great journey. Looking forward to 2 more years and beyond. Signing off, Ben the Breaker of Banksters for the Patriot Power Hour.